I think to a message for all of the wacko authors out there. So I know that there's this saying that's been going around, which is 2024 the plot. That doesn't apply to you. Not 2024 the plot. No. No.
You will not be written into the plot this year. Yeah.
No. You can write a good plot in the books that you're writing. Just don't do it for the plot. Just don't do that.
Hey everyone, welcome back to another episode of the Try Reading Podcast with me, your host, Gabriel, but nobody cares about me, I'm old news. You're all excited to see who the guest is, and I don't blame you. Well, the good news is, if you've been a listener since season one, you might recognize her. Today, I'm joined by the amazing Maddie. How are you doing, Maddie?
I'm doing good. How are you?
I am doing well. I am so excited to have you here back on for another episode, and yeah, just can't wait to talk.
I can't wait to be back as well. It's literally been over a year since the last episode that I was on. And yeah, I missed this so much.
Well, I'm so glad. I know I missed having our Heartstopper conversations and obsessing over Nick and Charlie. So
I know.
Yeah. Well, as I said, I'm so excited. And listeners, this will be Maddie's third appearance on the podcast, and I couldn't be more excited. If you didn't listen to the previous episodes with Maddie, go do that, because I learned all about her love for books and reading, and that was, you know, when she was still running Pages and Quills. And then Maddie joined me again for her Heartstopper episode, and which was just so much fun, and that was so exciting. And now Maddie is back, but not to tell us about her beginning to the book world. Maddie has joined me to discuss why she stepped away from content creation. If you don't follow Maddie, back in June of 2023, she made the decision to stop Bookstagram content, but thankfully we still get this icon on social media under the handle Love from Maddie. It's still full of Taylor Swift lifestyle and bookish posts, but much more chill and personal, not like a scheduled or consistent Bookstagram. So when she announced her decision, Maddie shared that she'd love to come back on the pod and discuss why she stepped away and just bring more awareness to the discussion of pausing and pressure when it comes to Bookstagram. And I cannot wait. I can't wait to learn about all of this amazing advice and stories from Maddie, and just also have some really fun, chaotic, bookish discussions. So thank you so much for joining me.
Of course. I'm glad to be here. I love still doing like things like this once in a while.
I'm so glad.
Back when I was doing content a lot.
Yeah. Well, it's an honor to have you. And since you have been here plenty of times before, I'm sure you know, I will ask, what are you currently reading?
Okay, so I've been on such a reading high in the month of January. Currently, I'm reading Killer Instinct, which is the second book in the Natural series by Jennifer Lynn Barnes. Really, really good. And then last night, I actually finished Never Let Me Go, which was my like choice reading book for my EP literature class. And it was really confusing, but really sad at the end. So I definitely like enjoyed reading that. At the beginning of January, I finished Powerless by Lauren Roberts, and that became one of my new all-time favorite books. If anyone listening is a fan of enemies to lovers romance, I would highly, highly recommend it. I work at Barnes & Noble now, and so I always recommend that to people.
Oh my gosh. Well, that's so exciting and such an exciting update. And I've seen so much buzz about Lauren Roberts, especially since it got picked up by Simon & Schuster. And so that's so exciting. And yeah, and then she recently released the cover for the second one, I think.
She did. Yes. I'm very excited. It actually comes out in July of next year.
Oh my gosh.
Which is my birthday month. So I'm just going to consider it a good birthday gift
right,
for myself.
Right. Exactly. Well, I am currently reading, I'm like coming out of this like what I think maybe like 3 month reading slump. It was really bad.
Same.
Obviously senior year and just like life got so crazy that I think it sort of pushed reading aside, which was a bummer. But I finished So Let Them Burn, which is a fantasy novel, which was amazing. It comes out next Tuesday. It's dragons, it's queer, it's like there's enemies to lovers, there's it's like it's dual POV, it's two sisters, and it's sort of like save your sister and destroy the world, or kill your sister and save the world, and what would you do?
Stop.
And it's so good. It's so amazing. I have not stopped thinking about it. If you love like How to Train Your Dragon, It's a very like invisible string Taylor Swift coded.
Stop it.
She edited the whole book to that basically. So if that gives you like any idea, it's so amazing and it's a duology. So obviously the second book isn't out yet, but the first one is amazing.
And that sounds right up my alley too. Like you have the enemies to lovers, you have
Right.
the queer love story, you have like all of like the fantasy elements. I've been on such a fantasy high. I will
Yeah.
100% be adding that.
Oh yay. Well, it's so good. And yeah, but then I was like, I need something to like be good, but not, you know, so bad that like I fall into another reading slump because of how this
Yeah.
was so good. So I read This Winter and Nick and Char not Nick and Charlie, sorry, This Winter and Heartstopper Volume 5. Which
Oh my
I
gosh.
was so it, and I knew it was ending because I was reading it physically and I knew it was ending, and I still was like, what? No.
Yeah, I literally, when I saw that there's going to be a volume six and then it's like officially ending, I was like, okay, we get one more volume. But I was like, at the same time, oh my God, like, I'm literally going to cry.
It was so good and also so devastating knowing that
Yeah.
like it's coming to an end. But
And like, I don't know. I feel like they have sort of followed like our ages because they were
right.
at the beginning of high school
Yeah.
when we both started reading it. And now they're like preparing to go off to college when we're preparing to go off to college. Like it literally makes me so sad.
Yeah, like the college tours with Tara and Al and
Stop.
Nick. I was like, that was me. Yeah. Oh my gosh. Yeah. So I don't know when volume six is coming out. It hasn't been announced yet, but I'm hoping soon enough that like it, you know, maybe I
What
don't
if it
know.
like comes out around the time that like we start college? I would
That'd be
literally
so
stop
sad.
it. Stop it.
I'd have to take a gap year just to process the
Oh,
book for sure.
100%.
Yeah. Yeah. So I finished those and those were amazing. And now I am listening to Permanent Record by Mary H.K. Choi.
Okay.
I love her writing. It's very like literary fiction feeling, but it's most of the books she's written are romance. It takes place in New York. It's so fun. It's like very, it's so New York. And
Yeah.
yeah, so I love it so much. But
Oh my gosh.
that's what I'm
Yeah.
currently reading. But yeah, I had to shout out these past few like super five
I
stars.
always have to do it too. Don't
Yeah.
worry.
Well, I just have a few podcast shout outs from previous guests. There's quite a few actually. So listeners, pull up a pen and pencil or paper and write it down because yeah, on January 16th, the Mythics 2 Haley and the Dragon releases in paperback. I am so happy. This is a middle grade fantasy series. It's super magical, it's super cozy, full of found family and amazing characters. And then the paperback edition of Well Done by Stuart Gibbs releases on January 30th. It is the eighth book in the fabulous Fun Jungle middle grade mystery series, so don't miss it. Skater Boy by Anthony Narada releases on February 6th. Anthony's debut is full of queer joy, and it's a wonderful coming of age story that you will love. And last but not least, Case Encalender's YA fantasy debut releases on February 6th as well. It's Infinity Alchemist and it's a fantasy full of magic and queer characters, and it's Case Encalender. So doesn't that sound amazing? If any of these titles interest you, listeners, you should definitely go pick them up when they release. And lastly, a big thank you to Abrams, Amulet, and Peak Beyond for an arc of The Vanishing Station by Anna Ellickson. This is Anna's debut novel, and it is a YA contemporary fantasy set in San Francisco about a magical underworld and the lengths one girl will go to protect her family. It releases on April 30th, 2024, and it's perfect for fans of Legendborn and V.E. Schwab. And last but not least, I also want to give a big thank you to Forever Publishing for an arc of How You Get the Girl by Anita Kelly. I don't know if that was Taylor Swift coded or not. I have to find out. But it is a sapphic basketball romance that releases on February 13th, and I'm so excited. But those were just a bunch of shout outs that I had to mention. But now, the official first question for you, Maddie, is what sort of prompted your decision to step away from content creation?
So this is something that I obviously made the choice to do in June, and I had been debating it, I want to say, ever since I hit 100K, which was a while before that. I want to say that that was like over 6 months before that. And I don't know, it's just Obviously, when I started my account, I never thought that it would be as big as it was. I mean, I had over 100,000 followers. I had brand deals and partnerships, and I actually work in social media management for authors right now, and I am able to work and be my own boss because of my social media content and because like what I got from there. So I was obviously so grateful. It's just that I felt so much like work, and like I feel like it had just like run its course. And something that actually really helped me, this is going to sound so corny, but at the time where I was debating the decision, I was talking to Savannah, who has been a lifelong friend of mine. We met when I first started doing content. She lives over in Canada. She does her own podcast called Earl Grey Reads, I think. And I was on FaceTime with her, and I was listening to You're Gonna Go Far by Noah Kahan. And I just sort of realized that I didn't owe anyone any obligation to continue doing content. And if I simply didn't want to do it, things would have been okay and things would work out. And I drafted up the story that I was leaving a minute after hearing that song for the first time. So I'll be seeing Noah Kahan in concert a week before my 18th birthday,
Oh
and
my
I will be getting
gosh.
my first tattoo of his song lyrics from You're Gonna Go Far. Because that song has just, it's helped me make so many big life decisions. And yeah, so definitely like stepping away from content, it was something I had been debating for a while, and I just felt like the person that I was when I started content when I was a freshman in high school was very different than me, who was about to be a senior in high school and who is now a senior in high school. I've changed a lot, matured a lot. I have a lot of different interests. I no longer deal, well, I do deal with it, but I'm no longer depressed. I'm medicated now. I have friends. My social anxiety has dropped a lot. I'm able to go out and experience the world and stuff like that. And actually, I was recently, I don't know if this is too TMI for a podcast, but I feel like it's something that isn't really talked a lot about. I was very, very adamant when I was doing content that followers and engagement and stuff like that was something that was really hard to deal with for me, of like whether it be like losing followers, losing engagement. It was something that I felt like I had to post all the time. And actually, a few months ago, I was diagnosed formally with OCD. And I learned recently that me posting all the time and my life being so centered around social media was actually a compulsion of OCD. And that was like getting an answer for why I felt so tied down to the account and why I would have like anxiety attacks if I wasn't able to check to make sure that I hadn't gotten canceled or that there was like nothing that I had to respond to. Finding out a reason behind why I was acting the way I was has something that has like really helped me a lot. And so there were a few different reasons, but I do miss it. I am still part of the community, just smaller. I love checking in on people, seeing how they're doing. But I like to say that I've just retired from it. And overall, it was a hard choice, but I do think it was the right choice for me.
Yeah, thank you so much for sharing that. And
Of course.
I love that there was such a, monumental song that was playing when you kind of had this like official like, no,
It was
this
very
is what I'm gonna
traumatic.
do. Yeah, of course. And yeah, and I think, well, A, having that feeling of like you're not tied down to anyone. Like it was your idea to start it and you can end it when you want. And so having, I'm sure that realization was really freeing
It was.
and you can still, it doesn't change your love for books. It doesn't change your love for book reviews or talking about books. It's just, yeah. So it's just sharing them differently. And I mean, that's a big commitment. That's a big job. I mean, over 100,000 followers, that's a lot. So, I just really am glad that you came to this like really good decision. You felt really good about it. And yeah, so thank you so much for sharing that.
Of course, of course. Yeah. So Bookstagram was obviously such a huge part of my high school experience. I feel like I had a very unique high school experience because of it. People still at my school will ask me about it, but sort of their reaction to it has gone from like making fun of it to sort of now people ask me for book recs all the time. I'm happy to give it to them. I love when I see people fall in love with reading, and it'll always be a part of me. I learned a lot from it. I met a lot of amazing people from it, like you. And yeah, so it's not something that I regret at all. It's just it had its time and it came and went, and that's
Right.
it.
It was an era. It was,
Exactly. It was an era. That
yeah.
is so right.
Well, now that, it's been, let's see, just about 6 months, I think. Yeah, since the official announcement of pausing, because it was June. So,
Yeah. Oh
what
my gosh.
has it been like over the past few months, sort of having that change of not creating content?
It's been really quiet. Not only with like in my own mind, but like also just like in my life. I've had a lot more time to hang out with my friends and stuff like that. I've found that I DNF books more often if I'm not enjoying them. I'm not worried about my annotations being so pretty, even though I loved that era of my content. And I obviously now work at Barnes and Noble, which has been a dream job of mine since I was little, and I love working there. All of my coworkers know that I used to do content. I get to connect with people that way. Some people have said that they knew who I was working there, so that was always great. I like that I had the ability to like show how I grew as a teenager and have other teenagers see that. And I feel like I'm in a very stable part of my life right now. I'm really sure of who I am. Like I mentioned before, I still do technically make content in two ways. I have my social media, which is Love for Maddie, and then I also work with some local authors in the area. I work with the author of All the Moonlight on Earth. His name's Jesse. He's amazing. I'm his social media manager, which is what I wanted to do in college and after college. And so I'm thankful that I get to sort of move from being the one like in the spotlight to being the one behind the scenes. It's definitely a different perspective, and it's always something that I'm learning from.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's really cool that you've been able to continue it, but in a different way and
Yeah.
have a new perspective. And yeah, and I love that you've been recognized too at Barnes and Noble. And that's so fun that, it's such a, of course, book focused place. And so to be able to
is.
be surrounded by that is so fun. And would you say, I mean, obviously you talked about a lot of positives, but is there one thing or anything that's been like any major positives or negatives that you've noticed over these past few months?
Something that I struggled with, I guess, sort of right after I stopped making content, and when I was losing a lot of followers right before I stopped making content. It's obviously people talk about being relevant and stuff. Social media trends move through so fast, but I think it was such a unique experience for me to go through as a teenager gaining relevancy in media and then losing it as well. And that was something that was really hard for me to do because I started content obviously to share my love for books, but then as I was placed more on this pedestal of people like caring about like what I said and my words and stuff like that, it gave me like a strange sense of being liked that I didn't have when I was in high school, at least in my freshman and sophomore year of high school. And I think that slowly when I began to lose that, it was a very like complex feeling. I can't really describe it. It was like definitely a low point, especially now, especially not knowing before that that was part of my OCD. It felt to me like it was my whole world, and that like obviously like when you lose followers, it some people take it personally, some people don't. There were times that I did, there are times that I don't. But I know it can feel sometimes like you're losing like people that support you and stuff like that. When sometimes people just, I think this is something my mom said to me, which shout out to my mom, I love her. She said that it just meant that people were like they had your content in a certain area
era of their life and they were able to grow past that era. And you should be happy that they were able to grow past that and just like wish them well on their like life with like not having your content be a part of it. And like I slowly learned that like my content wasn't who I am. They were two very different separate things. And so I think that that really helped as well.
Yeah, exactly. And it was a part of you, and not you weren't a part of it. And
Exactly. That was really well said.
and I love what your mom said, and it's all just like, yeah, it's so true, and some great points of just like being able to look back in a positive way and reflect in a positive way, and learn from it, but also like have really good memories and just know that, like, yeah, like you said, not only was it an era for you, but it was an era for other people who followed your content for so long. Yeah. Well, I know that, like you had said, it's not very common to have this big overarching discussion of like leaving content creation, and you don't see it talked about openly as much. And so, how do you think others could have this conversation of moving on or the next chapter?
Well, for starters, my DMs are always open for people that want to talk about this. And I think that that's part of what made my decision of eventually leaving so hard because I felt like there wasn't a lot of people that shared their stories of like going out of content. Or I feel like if they did, they were these like huge YouTubers that got canceled like in 2016 and stuff like that for stuff that they very well should have been canceled for. But I feel like there isn't a lot of people that shared their story of sort of what like leaving had been like. And so I felt like I was sort of stepping into open waters when I eventually did leave. And I think it's just something where you have to like look at it from an outside perspective, as in like talk to your like friends and your family that like don't do the content that you do, because obviously I have friends that still do content and I have friends that I met from doing content. But the friends that I have right now, I don't know if they're listening, but like my best friends right now, I would say are Sahana, Vivian, and Sydney. None of them were there when I started content. Or if they were, we hated each other. But they like have seen me grow from content being my everything to sort of me leaving. And so being able to have some outside perspective from them of like being able to know that like they don't do this and they're still okay and stuff like that. And I know that that sounds like really obsessive or like a really like big dramatic thing, but for me like it was like a big thing for me. And so I think that having those conversations with people that don't make content like you do and sort of stepping away from the community to have those conversations, or again like talking to me, or if you find another person that went through the same thing, talking to them and just making informed decision like that is how I would go about that. And also remember that it's not something that's stuck in stone. You can always come back. It's not like you have, like, it's not all or nothing. And I know that that's a big part of thinking with people who have like anxiety or OCD and stuff like that. All or nothing thinking is really common. And but yeah, you can always come back. You can always do what you were doing in a smaller quantity. It's not just stay exactly how you are or leave. There's a lot of
Right.
different things in between.
Exactly. And it's important for people to change and evolve. And yeah, it's something that I have been thinking about as well, too. Like with this next chapter of college, like pausing the podcast and emphasis on the word pausing, though, because in my mind, I'm like, oh, yeah, well, if I find that, like, yeah, I could do this like once a month or once every other month and smaller quantities, or yeah, I could continue this in a few years, right? Like you said, it's not all or nothing. And yeah, and I do love, love, love the advice of like having those conversations with people who are not aware of how Bookstagram works or how whatever you do works. And because that can be like a great voice of reasoning or a great outside perspective. And yeah, other than talking with people, because you know you're sort of it was very good advice, and it sort of my how do you think question turned into your just advice, which was great. Do you have any other tips or advice for anyone who is possibly considering this or just is doing content creation and might be in a similar situation?
Yeah, so something that really helped me was an exercise that me and my therapist did. He had me not post anything for social media. And again, this is a little different because obviously of my situation. But he had me not post on social media for a day. And then, like a few weeks later, he had me not post on social media for 3 days. And then eventually, he had me not post on it for like 5 days. And then after that, it was like a refresh that I needed where I was like, wow, my world won't end if I don't post content. I will be okay. I have stuff to fill the time with. And if I don't have stuff to fill the time with, I can find stuff to fill the time with. So I think like pausing in those like little increments can really help you try to make the decision of, wow, is this something that I really want to do? How would it feel not having this in my life and stuff like that? And if it's something where you just have this like, I don't know, like a similar reaction to like how I do with like feeling the need to post every day. Screen time limits are your best friend. I love my screen time limits. I have my mom set them for me so then I don't know the password and I can't get back on TikTok or Instagram. But yeah, just seeing sort of, it's crazy how slow the day goes by and how much more time you seem to have when you're not on social media. It's like crazy. Like I once went to school a full day. I went to a movie with someone and then I came back and I hung out with my friends and saw another movie with them all before the time where I had to be back home. And I was like, wow, huh, like I am able to still continue living without making this content and the world won't end if I don't.
Yeah, that's really great advice. And yeah, just like different increments of pausing and seeing how it works for you. And yeah, no, those time limits, screen time limits are great. Because yeah, it does. Social media eats up time. And yeah, so that was really wonderful advice. Thank you so much for sharing that and just all of your stories and perspectives from this experience. It was really, really wonderful to hear.
Of course.
Well, of course, as tradition, we must discuss the latest Heartstopper news.
Of
So,
course.
this is like
Of
a
course.
news
I'm
station,
ready.
central news. Yeah, I mean, honestly, Maddie, you and I should just run the Heartstopper fan club at this point. Like, we are the
Exactly.
president's already, just no one knows it.
Alice Oseman, give us a
And
call.
right, yeah, verify. Yeah, just like they can confirm this. It's very obvious. But obviously, earlier you said you read Heartstopper Volume 5, and yeah, just share any and all thoughts and opinions.
Wow.
Yeah.
I absolutely loved it. There is a lot of new content that we got. I don't want to say like much about it, but we got a lot of new conversations about like new topics that we sort of haven't approached yet in like relationships, whether it be with Nick and Charlie or like other characters within the story, which I thought was really, really great. It was a really fresh perspective on things like that, especially in the media where you have a lot of like toxic relationships portrayed in media, like thinking like Euphoria and stuff like that. And you have those like teenagers and just seeing very normal teenagers with very normal lives and seeing how they approach relationships and the mistakes that they make. That was really interesting to see. It made me so bittersweet to see that Nick was going on some college tours because I also had been touring colleges. And I don't know, I feel like I've just grown up with these characters. And it always makes me so bittersweet reading Heartstopper. Like, I feel like you can't read a volume of Heartstopper and like not leave with like a smile on your face. Like, it just has such an impact on you. And yeah, so those were like my general thoughts on it. I loved it, of course. I gave it 5 stars. So,
Absolutely. There's
yeah,
no
there
other
was nothing
option,
catching to about
actually.
it.
Yeah.
Yeah,
And there's no
there
other
isn't.
option. There's no button other than the five
No.
stars. So, yeah, it was so good. And it is so true. Like, I read volume one in ninth grade. And
Stop.
yeah. And then just like whatever it was, whether it was the volumes or whether it was the novellas or a book another book by Alice Oseman that took place in the Heartstopper world or the TV shows. There was always something that was like out there to like even just expand on the love for it.
The conversation that they had at the carnival when they were
Yes.
on, like, when she was with Charlie on, like, the Ferris wheel and stuff like that.
That was
Because
so good.
obviously there is, like, a lot of, like, queer representation within the novel, like, whether it be, like, with transgender characters, like, gay characters, like, lesbian characters, bisexual characters, but seeing sort of getting a perspective on, like a girl and a guy being in a relationship, but it's still being a queer relationship
Yeah.
was something that I extremely liked. And it's something that was very relatable to me as someone who is queer and who has been in relationships with guys and girls and non-binary people, how to approach, especially the situation of being in a relationship with a guy. And I feel like that's not something we get a lot in media. And so I was very, very happy to see those like extra conversations between Tori and Charlie and Tori and Michael.
Yeah, it was such, and I love their sibling
I
relationship,
do
and
too.
it's, yeah, it was so good to see. And also after like Charlie just having a really just rough experience within the last volume, and so to have them come together in just like a really sweet moment of just like being just great siblings and there for each other, it was so sweet. And yeah, I loved it so much. It was so good. I was like, I need more. Like, this is my air. This is
I
oxygen.
know.
Yeah.
Like it's not an era, it's just something that's forever. Like
Forever.
it just
Yeah.
sticks with you.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. I know. I need to just like collect anything Heartstopper related forever. And yeah. Well, obviously, also this year, season two came out in August. And yeah, how was that? And thoughts, moments.
I adored it. I watched it in one day, of course. My memory of Heartstopper season two is so blurry because Red, White, and Royal Blue came out
Oh, that's
around the same
right.
time. And I just like mix the two together, and it's just this like big era of like book to movie adaptations or book
Yeah.
to show adaptations. But seeing them in Paris and stuff, I thought that obviously the show was done so well with like the casting and having it stay true to the books, but then also adding some like extra content in there. I thought it was like so funny. It was obviously so emotional getting to see sort of Charlie and Ben's relationship and stuff like that, and how like they like develop. And then obviously Nick and Charlie growing together as a couple, and then Imogen and Ben and how that all worked out. That one scene in
Yeah.
season two where they were at the dinner table
Oh
in
my
Paris.
gosh.
Oh my God, I was on like the edge of my seat. I was like, there's no way that this is happening right now.
Yeah.
I also loved the moments that we got between the two teachers. They've
Oh
also
my
been a
gosh.
favorite of
Yeah.
mine. I like they're so cute and I love them. But yeah, I
Yeah.
really liked it. And like I don't know. I remember just like watching the Paris episodes, like rewatching them literally every single day because I had never been to Paris. I went to Portugal over the summer with my family, and that was great. But Paris is always somewhere that I've wanted to explore and stuff like that. And then obviously seeing Tao and Elle finally, like, oh my gosh, they're so perfect. And like Tara and Darcy and seeing how they like sort of went through their relationship. The music in season two,
Oh my
the
gosh.
soundtrack, so good. Seven by Taylor Swift, you're kidding. I literally cried. I sobbed.
It was so good. I've been to Paris once. I was much younger, but I still remember it, and it was so fun. And so it was fun to see it. And they really, I mean, even when the Paris trip was happening, I pulled out volume three and like I started looking and I was like, no,
It's
these
the
lines are
exact
word
same.
for word. Yeah.
Yeah, I did
Yeah.
that too.
I was like,
Because
whoa.
I was like annotating volume three while I was reading it. And it's like the characters would say the lines as I'm reading them. I was like, this
Yeah.
is insane.
Yeah. No, I really firmly believe Alice just shook the books and everybody came out of
Yep.
the book like that.
Yep. Yep.
Absolutely. But it was so good. Yeah. You're so right. I love how they expanded on like Al and Tao's relationship too, and like getting to really fully see the day they had, like exploring the museums and that song Mona Lisa, where they're running through like that really
Yes,
small art
I oh my
museum.
god,
Oh.
that's so cute. Oh my god. I like, oh my god. Or like when Nick ordered from that cart and
Oh
he
my
spoke
gosh.
French and all the people were like, "You speak French?" She's like, "Yeah, my dad's French." And then I think it was Tara. Tara goes, "Since when?" And he goes, "Since birth." I
Earth.
was like, "Oh my god." I also like screw like Warner's Brothers and all those like huge companies for the actor strike going
Oh,
on
yeah.
while like this like was published, because we were robbed of so much content and so much
Right.
interviews because these people could not pay their screenwriters and their
Yep.
actors. Like,
Yeah. No,
I need
it.
my interviews.
Right, exactly. It made me very happy to see that, like, they finally could. They came to an agreement, and like the studios actually fairly paid people for what they were
Yeah, which
asking
is like,
because it's just,
it's not that hard
common
to do.
sense, you know? It was, yeah. And yeah, because it was so fun because also like Casey McQuiston and their whole cast of Red, White, and Royal Blue could post all the behind the scenes. And so it
And
was
now
just
we're
like,
finally getting the content. It's like finally
yeah.
pushing out. It's just making me like relive that era all over again.
Right.
Red, White, and Royal Blue was a huge thing for me. I think I
Yeah.
watched the movie. I think I counted. I think I watched the movie 29
Oh
times
my
in a month.
God. Oh my
Which is like one
gosh.
watch a day. So,
Right.
we're not going to talk about it.
Right. August was an era. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. Well, yeah. And now they've finished filming season three, which is
So
crazy. I mean,
exciting.
like, this is again the beauty of this show. Like, they are not letting their actors age out of like the
Yeah,
characters. They're like,
they get the
no.
job done. It
Yeah.
is over and over,
Yeah.
just like they go to work.
Yeah, and it's interesting because since we saw books pretty much three and four in almost four, we saw like the dinner conversation with Nick coming out to his dad, and but we didn't really see anything of Charlie's like just his eating disorder and mental health, and it was obviously talked about, but it clearly they left it on a note that like it's going to go into more in season three.
I'm gonna
So,
need a box of tissues for season three.
yep, you and I
No.
both.
No, I
Yeah.
can't.
But it makes me wonder, like, is season three going to be volume five? Like, are they going to do the college tours? Or is it solely going to be the end of book four? I really don't, because also there's no announcements of like being renewed for another season.
Yeah. Watch me like go on Instagram after this and she like posted
It's
the
like,
trailer for
surprise.
season three. That's a good question. I like didn't think about that until now.
I know, but they finished filming, so clearly they
They
had a
did, yeah.
plan.
Yeah.
Yeah. But who knows?
Also, I have a bone to pick with book to movie adaptations right now, or book to show adaptations. I don't know if you heard, but Shadow and Bone got
Oh,
canceled.
yeah. It was like, for what? But like,
My friend literally texted me. All I saw from her when I opened my phone was a text. I was like, "Maddie, I'm so sorry." I was like, "You're kidding." I was staring at my wall crying for 4 hours.
it was
Like,
a lot, like it was the death of so, like that was, it was, yeah. And it just doesn't, I don't know, it's
it doesn't
weird,
make sense.
right?
Netflix needs to get their shit together.
Yeah. Well, if they cancel Heartstopper, that's not
No,
good, that's not gonna be good for them, yeah.
no.
Yeah, I
That's the
know,
only reason why I still have my Netflix
right?
subscription.
Pretty much,
That and
that's.
then the Walter Boys season two.
Oh, and
That's
Young
it.
Royals season three in
And Young
March.
Royals season three. Stop, because season two, I remember watching Young Royals season two, and I was like, my jaw was on the floor. I just like, I was speechless. And
Yeah.
it's season three, the final season.
Yeah.
Okay, so I'm gonna just cry, but that's okay.
Yeah, I know. Oh my
Oh,
gosh.
ew. I
Yeah.
don't like all of this coming to an end. And then the
Right.
summer I turned pretty as well. We have that.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. Something that is common on, it's very common on BookTube towards the end of the year are the end of the year book tag questions. And since it's the start of a new year, I thought Maddie and I could reflect on our past year of reading and share our answers to these book questions. And also, it'll probably give you listeners some book recs. So I know there's many different people who create these book questions, but if anyone was curious, I got most of them from Larry Reads on YouTube, BookTube, and a couple I just sort of added of my own. But without further ado, let's get into the 2023 end of year book tag questions.
I read my favorite book of all time in 2023, so
Okay. Oh,
I
well,
will be
do
saying
tell. Yeah.
yes.
Well, that's great because the first question is, what is the best book or books you read in 2023?
Okay, so I have three.
Yes.
Number one is Tomorrow and Tomorrow and Tomorrow by Gabrielle Zevin. If you read one book in your life, read Tomorrow and Tomorrow and Tomorrow. If you can only read one book in 2024, have it be Tomorrow and Tomorrow and Tomorrow. It's my favorite book of all time. I'm getting my dad to read it. I'm getting my dad's friends to read it. I'm getting like my friends to read it. I'm getting my teachers to read it. I'm literally a walking advertisement for it. Second book is Carrie Soto Is Back by Taylor Jenkins Reid. If you like women in sports, if you like sort of if you're excited for Zendaya's new movie, Challengers, which I am very excited for, or if you just like Mad Woman by Taylor Swift or The Man by Taylor Swift, read Carrie Soto Is Back. It is so good. I remember I just like got this feeling one night where I was like, huh, like I'm just gonna pick this up. I stayed up all right night reading it. I read it in one sitting. I didn't get up to go to the bathroom. So,
That
and
tells you
then,
anything, yeah.
yep. Third book is Caught Up by Liz Tamford. It's the third one in the Mile High series. I read Mile High and The Right Move, and I really liked both of them. And then Caught Up, I don't think I've ever had like a romance book like gag me this much. Like I was crying. I was like, here are tattoo ideas for this book. I have a playlist. I have a Pinterest board. It was so good. It's like a single dad, and then like the girl is the male main character's like coach's daughter, and she like comes home because she like goes around, she's like a world-renowned chef, and she like goes home for a little bit to spend time with her dad. And then he was like, oh, this guy keeps firing all his nannies, you can nanny his kid. Also, I usually hate kids in books. I loved the kid in this book. He's like a little, like, I want to say he's like three. His name's Max. I love kids because of Max. Like it was really good. It was so good. Anyways, that's
That's
my
great.
list.
Yeah. I would say if I had to pick one, I think, well, it was the first book I read in 2023, and it was
That was
definitely one of the
Tomorrow and Tomorrow
best.
and Tomorrow for
Oh,
me.
really? Oh my
Yeah.
gosh.
Okay, what was yours?
Well,
Sorry.
so no, you're good. So I was up, I'm going to paint the scene here. I was up at 1 a.m. on New Year's Day, bawling my eyes out. I was crying. And it's not a sad book. I mean, there's some sad moments, but it's not a sad book. And that is Last Night at the Telegraph Club by Melinda Lowe.
Shut
And
up.
this book is so good. I don't even know how to describe it. I got put in a reading slump thanks to this book. I have not stopped thinking. I think about it daily. Like, I
I read it.
daily. Oh, you did?
I did. Yeah, I got an ARC of it,
Oh my
actually.
gosh. So you read it a
Yeah.
while ago.
I did read it a while ago. I loved it. I
It
thought it was
was
really
so
good.
good. Yeah. And I loved, as someone who loves San Francisco, and I loved it so much. So
I was
that
going to say,
was.
that's very up your alley.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
Literally, like up
right.
your, like you're there.
Yeah, right. And let's see. So the next is, what was the most disappointing or least favorite read of the year?
I have two. One I read for my English class last year, and that was 1984. I explained it to my English teacher like this, which I doubt he's listening to this, but I might recommend this podcast to him. So, Mr. Greben, I'm sorry in advance for what I'm about to say. I love him. He's like one of my favorite teachers of all time. But he loves 1984. And how I said it was, it didn't have to be a book, it could have been an essay. because there were so many, like, there was like maybe like 2 pages from this book within the book. And I was like, oh, I love these 2 pages. I love what this essay is saying about like humanity and stuff. Everything else, I was like asleep. And then the more controversial one was the Magnolia Parks universe, which is like, what is it? Daisy Hates and Magnolia Parks. Have you heard of it? It was like okay. But for a while on Bookstagram and BookTok, it was like a big thing. And I was just like, I read them both quickly, but it's not like I like don't really remember anything about them. So I was kind of let down by that. But yeah, those are my two.
I would say mine is. Let's see, the title is Harlem Sunset. It's part of the Harlem Renaissance mystery series. I
Okay.
was sent the book. It's like historical mystery. It was really confusing. And from what I understood, you don't have to read the first book. Like they can stand alone. It was
Okay.
just, it didn't make sense. That's the basic. Like I was just, it was a murder, and then they were like trying to solve the mystery, but it was like so obvious, but also like no one knew what happened, and so it was just it just didn't work for me, and
Yeah.
so I was really disappointed too because I wanted to like it, but so that was that. The cover is pretty, so
You go.
that's okay. What wh or who was your favorite book couple this year?
Okay. I didn't have like a distinct answer for this. I'm gonna say, and I want to talk about Powerless, but I read that technically in 2024. But read Powerless. They are a great couple. What I wrote was that I've read so many romance books this year. So any romance couples that display that had like a disability rep or mental health rep or talk about very niche things within intimacy, all of them. I always love learning about like how other people like are in relationships and stuff like that. And I feel like this year I read a lot of really good books displaying like unique situations. So like Caught Up by Liz Tomford, just off the top of my head, like Two Wrongs Make a Right. The Bergman Brothers series, they have a lot of great mental health and disability rep. And let me think. I read this a while ago, but I'm still going to mention it. The Get a Life Chloe Brown series by Talia Hibbert. Really great LGBTQ plus like romance, like and disability rep and mental health rep as well. So that's what I put for my favorite book couples. Any book couples like that?
I love that. Well, actually, mine is similar with yours. I would say it's a series, but out of all the couples are great, but my favorite so far has been the first book in the series, The Last Nanny in Manhattan by Kay Sterling. It's a
Okay.
romance series. And this book has kids in the books, but again, it is done so well that you love them and it's not too much. But all of the relationships are so great. Each book follows a different nanny from this nanny agency in New York City who's caring for, whether it's a baby or a toddler. And it's pretty clear, but they're going to fall in love with the parent, right? And it's a single parent. And there's a sapphic book in the series. There's gay romance for most of them, but there's really just really fun. It's just a very like diverse series. There's bisexual representation. There's incredible mental health representation in all of the books, and some of them, not all of them. There's a couple age gap romances. They're just like all very varied in the series, and it's so fun. The covers are so great. But my first one would be the first book, The Last Nanny in Manhattan. And yeah, they're just so
I just
fun.
added it on
Oh, good. I
Goodreads.
love Kay
I'm very
Sterling. She's the
intrigued.
best. Yeah. So that would be my pick. Yeah, I love those books and I love those couples. Let's see. Who is your new favorite author that you discovered this year?
Gabrielle Zevin, of course. Love her. Author of Tomorrow, Tomorrow, and Tomorrow. Olivia Darling or Liv Darling, she wrote Fear the Flames. She is also one of my best friends. And I'm not saying that Because she's my best friend. I'm saying that because Fear the Flames was 100% one of the top five fantasy books I read last year. Really great if you love like a feeling like the vibe of Throne of Glass, but with like enemies to lovers, some like extra dragons thrown in there, like really, really healthy relationships, green flags all around from the characters. Really good. And then I don't know how to pronounce her last name, but Chloe Lachese, she wrote Better Hate Than Never, Two Wrongs Make a Right. She wrote the Bergman Brothers series as well, I believe. Again, just really great representation from her. I always love her books. They're always a great time, and I feel really connected to the characters every single time I read it.
Yeah,
So that's
that's
my
great.
list.
Yeah, and Olivia Darling, she just got a book deal, like a
She did. I'm
publishing book
so
deal.
happy for
Yeah.
you. Oh my God, I'm so happy for you, Liv. Oh my God. When I found out the information, I was literally ecstatic because I
Yeah.
wrote Fear the Flames, or I like read Fear the Flames when it like wasn't published yet. She sent it to me on by email through a PDF. So I read it on this computer that I'm using right now. And I was
Wow.
just like addicted to my computer. I was just like scrolling through it. It was so good. But yeah, very excited for her.
Yeah, I would say two authors that, okay, yeah, I would say two authors that are new to me, but I love them and will continue reading them are Victoria Vlasic and Hannah V. Sawyer. Victoria
Okay.
Vlasic is the author of How to Find a Missing Girl, which is a young adult thriller. It's
Okay.
queer, it's hysterical, it's if you love Scooby-Doo, if you love, like, it's just so fun.
Okay.
And I will read anything she writes. It's so fun. And then Hannah V. Sawyer is the author of All the Fighting Parts, which is a novel in verse. And it
Okay.
is it's much please search up actually I should mention this for a lot of these books. Search up trigger warnings.
Oh,
I should have mentioned that earlier. But
yeah.
Hannah's
I
book,
second
yeah.
that.
Hannah's
Yeah.
book follows the main character is the survivor of a sexual assault, and it's her like recovering her, like reclaiming her power and her voice. And it
Okay.
is so
Wonderful.
beautiful. It's so powerful. It's, yeah, and just, knowing it's in verse, it just makes the book
Yeah.
even better. And yeah, so those are two authors that I love, found out this year. They're both debut authors, but I will continue reading their books. So
This,
yeah.
I swear to God, this podcast episode should be called like You Give Me Book Recs because I have
Right.
like a long list
Yeah,
of books now.
that's okay. It's called the book rec. Just fully,
Yeah.
that's all it's gonna be.
That's, yeah.
Well, let's see. What was a book that made you the most joyful and happy? And in that, what was also a book that made you cry the most?
Joyful and happy, I had Caught Up by Liz Tomford again. I was a giddy mess. My parents thought that I like won a trip to go see Taylor Swift or something. I was giggling through this book. And for the what book made me cry the most, Tomorrow and Tomorrow and Tomorrow, I have on my private story on Snap. I cried in the span of 3 pages. I cried 5 times, and I had actually, I don't think that this is good marketing for this book, this next part that I'm gonna say. I had 3 anxiety attacks while reading the book because I was so invested. And I almost threw up because I was crying so
Oh,
much. So be warned. And then I also reread Normal People. And the first time that I read Normal People, I gave it 2 stars because I didn't really get it. And then I reread Normal People because I found a UK like paperback version at my Half Price Books, and I read it and I gave it 5 stars because I watched the show with my friend as well, and we were both like sobbing messes after.
yeah. Well, sometimes you need just like a second chance, and then
Exactly.
it,
Exactly. Yep.
yeah. I would say the book, one book that made me very joyful and happy was If I Have to Be Haunted by Miranda Sun. It is a
Okay.
young adult contemporary fantasy. It is enemies to lovers, childhood rivals to lovers. So like it's ingrained in them to be enemies. It is so funny. It's
What
so
is it
good.
called?
If I Have to Be Haunted, if you love Persebeth, Perkabeth, Persebeth, however you say it. Annabeth and Percy, like that's them in another universe. They mention Annabeth in the book too, so like it's amazing. But they basically he dies.
Cemetery. It's like
Yeah, it's like
Cemetery
it,
Boys. I
yeah.
love
That's
Cemetery
oh
Boys.
yeah.
Get out. Shut up. Oh my God.
Yeah. So Anyways, he dies. She can talk to ghosts. He needs her to bring him back to life. They have to go on like this quest. It's so fun. It's so campy, but also just like really sweet. The book that made me cry the most, it's gonna be a tie between, I would say, Last Night at the Telegraph Club and A Perfect
Real.
Mistake by Melanie Conklin. A Perfect Mistake, it's a middle grade novel, but it features a main character who has ADHD, and it's not a mystery, but there is this like mystery element to it because there's something that happened that put his best friend in a coma, and he doesn't know what happened, and he's like, his mind is sort of slowly piecing things together, but everybody forgets what happened that night, and some people don't want to tell him, and the parents don't know, and it's so good. And then his uncle shows up, and his uncle does not have a good relationship with his mom, and it's just like a messy family things. And then the ending, oh my God, the last like couple chapters, I was crying, and then it was like, oh, that's so sweet. And then something happened, and I just like started crying again. Her books,
That's so real.
yeah,
So
she's
real.
it's so insane. She's written three books. Her
Okay.
fourth one, it was a picture book, it came out today. But all three of her middle grade novels have made me cry, like every single one. So I like just tissues all the way. So
So she's doing it right, is
right,
what you're saying.
exactly. Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's so good. It's so fun. But also just like, oh my God. So anyways, the tears were shed. And then
Exactly.
what was the best book to screen adaptation that you saw in 2023?
The Ballad of Songbirds and Snakes.
Yeah.
I have a whole edits folder of it. I've seen it three times in theaters. I need Coriolanus Snow, not the old version of him, before I get canceled as I'm not even doing content anymore. I mean like Thomas Blythe. I don't
Yeah.
mean. It was so good. I ate it up. I will continue to eat it up. It was perfect.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I would say mine. I mean, we had some great adaptations this year. There was Daisy Jones and the Six, The Summer I Turned Pretty. Sorry.
Daisy Jones and the Six. I don't even speak to me about that because I remember I finally got around to watching it like 8 months after it came out, and I like finished it, and I just remember there was a single candle lit next to me, and I was watching it, and I had my glasses on, and they kept fogging up because I was crying so much. So I didn't see any of the last episode.
Oh my gosh. Oh my goodness. So it was a good year, clearly, of book adaptations, like, and like genuinely good ones too.
Yeah.
But my choice, and this is very recent, and I know the season has not finished, but I am all or nothing. Percy
Percy.
Jackson. My fourth grade self is screaming and throwing up and crying on the floor, falling down the stairs. I have waited for so long for this, and it is just, oh my gosh.
I got into the reading game so late. I started like reading, like, or I got back into reading since like fourth grade. I read Hunger Games. I was never a Percy Jackson kid.
Oh,
So
really?
I love all the edits. I just don't know anything that's going on.
Oh my gosh. Well, then my reactions don't even mean anything because, like, I'm over
No,
here, like, crying.
I've seen like fan art of it, and like it looks like a really good show and like a really good like book to show adaptation. It's just they're like when he jumped from the whatever he jumped
Oh,
from
the
the
St. Louis
arc.
Arch. Yeah.
Yeah, they're like, guys, it finally happened. I was like,
What?
yay!
Cool. Good for you.
I
Yeah.
don't know the context. I read the first book. I listened to the
Okay.
first book on audio, but that was it.
Okay.
And I
It's
liked it.
so good. I don't know. It's just so well done. Aesthetically, it's beautiful. The camp
Yeah.
is so great.
Camp. The camp is so camp.
Yeah, literally.
It's so camp.
So I love it. Yeah. And they're accurate for their age too. It's
Yeah,
not
yeah,
like they're
yeah.
20-year-olds.
PSA for everyone on TikTok that
Oh my
keeps making
God.
thirst trap edits of him, he is
15. Like, bro can't even start learning how to drive yet.
Right.
Like, why are you? If he
Yeah.
can't drive himself down to the police station to report your crimes, you shouldn't be making.
It's so true. It's yeah. And I saw the minute the first episode came out, there was someone that on TikTok that was like, "I know all of you, and you're gonna start making do not, because that's concerning and that's wrong." And I was like, "Yep." Yeah.
Exactly.
So, all that to say, that was my favorite. I love that yours was The Hunger Games, also a very aesthetically beautiful movie. Just very, it immersed you back into the world after being away for so long, I'm sure. And so, on that note of adaptations, what is an adaptation that you're excited for? And it doesn't have to be within this next year, just one that was announced or one that you're excited to see. Or it could be like a, another series of the same adaptation.
Second season of My Life with the Walter Boys, third season of The Summer I Turned Pretty, and third season of Heartstopper. We are getting fed. Also,
Yes.
Casey better make a part two to Red, White, and Rose.
Oh, yeah,
That's what I'm
for
saying.
sure. I know. I was trying to think. See, like, I have a ton that are announced, but I just don't know when they're happening. But I'm gonna.
Which ones?
Okay, so, okay, Jay's Gay Agenda by Jason June was announced, and that is such a fun
Okay.
contemporary romance.
Cute.
The Honeys by Ryan LaSala is a
I
YA
have heard of
horror.
that.
Very good. I can't wait to see it. But none that, like, aside from Heartstopper season three, of course. And yeah, so I'd say The Honeys, though, is definitely like top excitement. Don't know when, but I'll sit here and wait. I'm patient. Yeah. So,
I'm
yeah.
actually also so excited for Shadow and Bone season three because,
Oh,
you know, I'm gonna step into that Netflix office and just beg
yeah.
them
Right.
to make it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
It's unacceptable what they did.
Yeah. Can't wait to see it, you guys. Just tell me when, and then we'll be ready to watch it. It's happening. Like, why are you saying no?
It's just a, like an
Obviously, you
Easter
were
egg. They're
wrong.
just
Yeah.
fooling us.
They were just being so silly. Like, they just,
So
yeah.
silly.
What was your favorite cover of the year?
Ripe. I haven't read it, but it's like a bunch of pomegranates on the cover. Wait,
Oh,
what is it?
yes.
You know what
Yeah.
I'm talking about?
Yeah.
Yeah,
Yeah.
so aesthetic. And then Love Redesigned by Lauren
Oh, that's
Asher.
such a cool cover. Yeah,
I
the
know, I loved
details
it.
too.
Yeah,
Yeah.
and it's like I have it, and it's like imprinted in like the thing,
Really?
so it's like almost like 3D, like it's super cool.
Like indented into the, or like, yeah. Wow. Okay, I would say my favorite, it's gonna have to be So Let Them Burn, which I talked about earlier. I just love,
Gorgeous.
yeah, I think, I don't know, like there's so many good covers this year. I just, that one definitely is just really pretty, and it brings like, because the front there's like fire on it, but it's not orange, so it's like this purple pink, and it's this like new element to fire that just makes it look really cool and stands out. So that would be that. And do you have a favorite book quote from this year?
There's like so many that it's like I can't think of them off the
Yeah.
top of my head. I'm gonna have to just say Snowlands on Top.
Yeah, I'm horrible with book quotes, so I was like, throughout this year, I've just been like photographing and like editing to
So
like
real.
underline. So I have a couple. One is from Allegedly by Tiffany D. Jackson. There's a romance within it. It's not a romance novel. It's like thriller, but it's these teenagers, and it was like the first moment they fell in love with each other. And it says he smiled and said, "They premise, sorry, they went to jail, so they've committed crimes. So, it's okay because that
He
will accept."
smiled. Premise, they
Right,
did go to
yeah,
jail.
because before I read the next line, it will make more sense. He smiled and said, "So how long you been out?" And then my whole universe had opened up, and he became my son. Like SU, and
Oh
I was like, "That's so sweet," and their relationship
my
is so sweet. Oh, this one is from All the Fighting Parts by Hannah B. Sawyer. It's a couple lines in the poem. The poem is titled "I've Kissed a Lot of Frogs," and it's basically she's
Same
talking about
girl.
her. She's talking about her current boyfriend and how much she loves him. And she said, she wasn't used to this type of love, to the type of love that someone gives you when they want more than just your body. Something about knowing someone you love will hold you and let you hold them too. So I love that
Period.
line. This is from So Let Them Burn. It's It highlights the enemies to loversness of this story. And it says,
Oh.
it's one of the main characters talking about the guy she hates. And it says, if Reeve Warwick told me it was raining outside, I wouldn't believe him until I was drenched. And I just found that so funny and fun. And like,
I
yeah.
love that.
So those are
That
mine.
like reminds me of that one quote from Red Queen when like Maven's like something is he's like I could set the world on fire and call it rain or something like
Oh
that.
my
He like
gosh.
oh, I love him. Okay. Wait, I'm trying to find a quote from Tomorrow and Tomorrow and Tomorrow. Oh, this I think this takes the cake for my like actual favorite quote. Like obviously Snow lands on top, but like no, like I wasn't being serious with that. Sam's doctor said to him, "The good news is that the pain is all in your head, but I am in my head," Sam thought. I think about that all the time. Like, so often.
Ate and left no crumbs. Like,
Yeah, exactly.
what? Wow. Oh my gosh. Well, what is a book you haven't stopped thinking about? As if, like, this hasn't been the whole premise, but you know, that's okay.
It's gonna have to be tomorrow. And then also Throne of Glass by Sarah J. Maas. It's my favorite fantasy series. And there's a possibility that the next book by her, which comes out January 30th, there's a possibility that the Throne of Glass characters might show up.
Oh, really?
And
Wow.
I work at Barnes & Noble, and if like it's gonna take everything in me once I see that on the shelves, not to just like flick through
Right.
it.
Shove everybody aside.
Yeah. I like haven't we haven't gotten any new content from the characters in Throne of Glass since like 2018. So if they show up, there will be like, you know, a little like obituary posted about me because I will be dead.
I would say again, it's gonna be So Let Them Burn by Camila Cole. I didn't
You
finish it
are
like
like
too long
making
ago.
me want to like go out and buy this and read it right now.
It is, oh my goodness, it's so good. It feels like reading the How to Train Your Dragon movies, but just like the beauty of those movies, like riding when they're flying on the dragons. Ah, it's so visually stunning. The
Stop.
book is just like the imagery, the prose, it's so wonderful. It's so immersive.
Stop. Oh my
I
God.
can't stop thinking about it, and I don't know what I'm gonna do until the next book releases, that's for sure.
That's so
So,
real. That's how I feel about Powerless. I
yeah.
just like.
What is one 2024 anticipated release of yours?
Okay. I have a few. Daydream by Hannah Grace, which is the
Oh,
third one
yeah.
in the Icebreaker series. The girl is wearing a folklore cardigan, and it's
Oh, that's right.
my favorite guy in that universe as well. So I'm very excited for that. The second book to Powerless because you know, I will be like sending my therapy bill to Lauren Roberts. And then House of Flame and Shadow, which is the third one in the Crescent City series, and that comes out January 30th. And I just took off of work for the next 5 days because of it. And I
Slay.
will be faking sick to stay home and
Major
read it.
slay. Like,
Because it's
yeah.
over 1,000 pages and I'm really
Oh my
scared.
God.
Yeah, I am very scared.
Oh wow.
Yep.
Wow.
Yeah. It's
I
a
good luck.
commitment.
Good
Yep.
luck.
Thanks.
Yeah. Well, I would say my most anticipated reads of 2024 would be Society of Lies by Lauren Ling Brown. It is a dark academia psychological thriller. It takes place at
Oh.
Princeton University. It follows two sisters. One of them died. The other thinks, actually, probably wasn't just an accident. There was probably something sinister behind it.
Yeah.
Goes to the college and starts getting into a mess of
Oh, I
lies.
love
And
that.
I'm so excited.
Yeah.
I would say another is Immortal Dark by Tygist. It is a vampire dark academia romance. She is a human. She goes to this vampire manor and has to live with him because she thinks they killed her sister. And then she falls in love with the guy who probably killed her sister. And I'm like, hello.
You're telling me
I sign up.
she has to live with him.
Yeah, forced
Oh,
proximity.
I love forced roommates. I love it.
Yeah.
Wait, what is it called?
Immortal Dark. Oh, last but not least, is that the last one I want to mention? Yes. It is The Manor of Dreams by Christina Lee. It is a adult queer dark academia secret garden retelling with like family dysfunction and drama and romance and death,
I love
and
it.
I'm here for it. So, yeah, those are mine, and I love your answers as well. And I commend you for reading that plus 1,000-page book. I hope you survive.
I've been waiting for it for over a year and I'm just not ready for it. I will not be answering my phone. I won't be online. I will be cooped up in this bed.
Yeah, as you should. Well, the final question I have is, what was the craziest bookish drama from 2023 that
Oh,
you heard
I
about?
have such a funny story for this. Okay. What I think takes the cake is the, I don't know if you heard about this. And like, this is like a little weird for me to answer because I feel like I like wasn't in on the like drama as much because I like wasn't on like Booksy. Anyways, the Seattle Kraken drama with, yeah, you know what I'm talking about. With all the hockey romances and then the Seattle Kraken like wife coming out and being like, hey, like this isn't okay. And like people still going crazy. Like, okay, funny story. For my sports marketing class, we had to pick a team. And I don't know why I was in sports marketing, but from then I've learned that I would be more than okay working in the NHL as a social media marketer. But I chose the Seattle Kraken for my team. And so there were some assignments where I was like, it was like, has your team gotten into any drama? I was like, oh yeah, let me tell you.
Do you have a minute? Because
Like little quick interview, but
Oh
I
my
so
God.
everything with Kiara Lewis, I would say, was like the craziest. I watched like video essays on that on like YouTube. It was like insane.
You realize you forget how much happens like in a year and how much can happen. That was insane. Oh my God, and the
What's
fact that that
your...
was the team you chose and then like
Yeah,
it
I know.
but like
Crazy.
hey, more to talk about. So like
Exactly.
you know. Well, okay. This is interesting because there's so much. I mean, like, when you think about it, there was like a pause, I feel like, in the summer. There was a lot in the beginning of the year. There was the author that faked her own death and then like came back to life.
Yes! Oh my
Episode.
God.
And then there was like another guy that was like, he was like, I'm gonna read a book by a
I
woman
know what you're
every
talking
day
about.
until I get on the New
Every
York Times bestseller list.
Yep.
And then there was this weird guy that got a like 1-star review on his book and then like wrote a book dedicated to that person who 1-star reviewed it, but like his book was very predatory and weird. And so like then
Ew,
it was just
ew, ew.
the moral of the
Oh.
story, lots of men should not be writing books.
I agree.
The craziest thing for me was honestly, I would say it was the author most recently, Kate Corrane. I don't know if you've heard about that whole thing where she was 1-star review bombing all of these other debut authors, and then her agent dropped her, her publisher dropped her, Illumicrate dropped her special edition. Oh my God, I can't believe you haven't heard about this one.
No, I have not. Wait, what's her name?
Kate Corrane, she doesn't have a book anymore, clearly, but she was 1-star review bombing all of these 2024 debuts on Goodreads. Mind you, all of them were authors of color, and she is a white author. And so that didn't look good either. And she tried to play it off when people confronted her, like, oh, actually, no, it was a friend of mine. And she's like, here's proof. And she showed like this Photoshop conversation between like a fake, like a not a real person and her. And it was an entire mess. And then within 24 hours, her agent said, I'm no longer working with Kate Corrane. Her publisher said, Kate Corrane's book will no longer be published by us. Illumicrate dropped her special edition. And her UK publisher dropped it, and now the book is not happening, and she is done. So that was wild. I think it was just
Jesus.
insane. And her apology was like, it was just a bummer to see this type of apology because she was like, I've struggled with mental health, and you know. It just kind of came over me, and I just started 1-star review, and people were like, okay, we get that, but mental health doesn't make you racist. Like, that's something that you unpack. Like, 1-star review
That's
bombing
like
everything is different. But then she like upvoted all her books. And then, yeah. And actually, one of the books that was 1-star review bombed was So Let
you're
Them
kidding.
Burn.
No, it wasn't.
I find every
No.
way to bring this book up. It was a mess. It's book Twitter, book talk. There's all these sources that talk about it, and it just went down so downhill so fast that it was just like, wow, that's a way to just like bomb your career.
That's actually insane. I will be doing a deep dive on this after.
I cannot wait. That's a journey for you, and I am so excited for you.
Oh my God.
Yeah,
Okay,
so
cool.
those were all the questions, book tag questions. I loved getting book recommendations from you. I loved that I gave you some, and I hope the listeners got at least one, because like we were literally talking about
Yep,
thousands of
and it
books.
should be on my end tomorrow and tomorrow and tomorrow. If it's
And my
not, you did
end,
not listen to this.
right. And mine should be So Let Them Burn. And if you don't
Exactly.
read either of those books, then clearly you're not a reader and you're not a fan of
I
Maddie or I. And that's okay.
think it's a message for all of the wacko authors out there. So I know that there's this saying that's been going around, which is 2024 the plot. That doesn't apply to you. Not 2024 the plot. No. No.
You will not be written into the plot this year.
No,
Yeah.
you no. Nuh-uh.
Yeah.
You can write a good plot in the books that you're writing, just don't do it for the plot. Just don't do that.
Oh boy. Yeah.
In
It
your
is
professional life.
crazy. And so, yeah. But I'm also like really excited to see what happens this year,
Same.
drama wise. Like, I'm here for it.
So
Yeah.
like maybe do it a little bit.
Right. But like, keep it reined in. Well, obviously, even though you stepped away from book content creation, you still love books, clearly. And so, for you, what is just the best part about being a reader?
I would say it's that like moment where like this is so cliche and like I hate myself for being this cliche. That moment when you like forget that you're reading and like you see like a movie in your head and you don't see the page. I like can't even describe it. It's like the best feeling. Like no one has like nothing in my life has ever compared to that. And I would also say a really fun part. I had someone from my school message me a few days ago. She's like, "Have you read The Seven Husbands of Evelyn Hugo?" I was like, "Yeah, I have. I loved it." She was like, "My gosh, like I bought it today and I'm like reading it and like I don't like I've gotten like back into reading and stuff like that." And like so many people from my school have told me that. And just like I would say that that's like one of the great parts about being a reader too, is like seeing the impact that it has on other people.
That is such a wonderful answer. I love that so much. Those are two really wonderful aspects of being a reader. A, obviously, yes, the movies that you see in your head, but also just the community that reading can build, like you said, is so wonderful. And so, Maddie, that was just such a perfect note to end this amazing episode. And I want to thank the iconic, inspiring, bookish, fabulous Maddie for joining me today on another episode of the podcast. I had the best time chatting with you. And yet again, it's just always a pleasure.
You're literally so sweet. Stop. Don't make me cry on this podcast. That's not.
I just had so much fun. And where can the listeners find you?
Yeah, so you can find me at Love from Maddie on Instagram. My Spotify, I believe, is still. I want to say it's just if you search up my first and last name, which you can find pretty easily, it's just Mads on Spotify. So if you want to see what I'm reading, usually I make a playlist about that. And then my Pinterest, which I've been the most active on, is Pages and Quills still. And it's Maddie's version if you want to look it up by that. So yeah,
Perfect.
that's where you can
Amazing.
find me.
Love. Well, that will all be linked below. And do you have anything upcoming or current that you want to shout out or promote?
Yeah, so if you want to see some of my content, I currently am the social media manager for Jesse May Bueller. He wrote a really great book called All the Moonlight on Earth. If you love some thriller, some sci-fi, some romance aspects, all within a literary fiction book, which has some astronomical, like astronomers and like moon and like traveling to the moon aspects, you can find my content there. I do all the content for him. He's amazing, and I've loved working with him. And then what else? I just don't think I have anything besides reading and college applications going on. That's the only thing
Yeah.
I got going right now.
The grind, yeah.
The grind never stops.
Well, that's so great. And thank you, everyone, for listening to today's episode of Try Reading. Don't forget to subscribe or follow the podcast. And if you'd like, you can write a review or rate the show. It helps other book lovers find these amazing guests and their amazing stories. As always, you can follow Try Reading on Instagram at Try Reading Podcast and on Threads at the same handle. You can find this show wherever you get your podcasts, and you can catch new episodes every other Friday. And you can buy books by the Try Reading authors through the bookshop.org link in the Try Reading link tree below. Maddie, thank you again for taking the time to be on this episode of Try Reading. You are just such a light in the book world, and I am so glad to have you back on the podcast for season 3. And it was just such an honor.
Oh, stop. I loved being back. The Bookstagram community will always mean the world to me, and I will always be watching from the sidelines and cheering everyone on. So I absolutely love doing this. Thank you for inviting me.